Hi, everyone. Roger Marsh here for Family Talk. Do you like Dr. Dobson's Family Talk? Well, go to our Facebook page and tell us. You can sign up at drjamesdobson.org, and every day you'll see threads on issues that matter most to your family. See what's playing on the broadcast, dialogue on topics of faith and family, and find encouragement for daily life. That and much more at the Family Talk Facebook page. So join the conversation at facebook.com/drjamesdobson.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello and welcome to this Family Talk broadcast with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and I'd like to start today by asking you a question. Where does your identity come from? Is it your job, your looks, your achievements, perhaps? Well, quite honestly, if that's where you find your identity and your significance in life, it just might not be enough.
What I'm trying to say is that you see yourself in Christ. The me I see is the me I'll be. I am accepted in the Beloved. Grace, He accepts me. Faith, I accept that He accepts me. Peace, I accept me. Love, now I'm free to accept you.
Many of you already recognize that that was the voice of the late Pastor Adrian Rogers, and he has a lot more to say about the only true source of significance and security, and we will get to that in just a moment. Dr. Adrian Rogers was known as one of the greatest preachers and Bible teachers and Christian leaders of our time. For over 50 years, he consistently presented the good news of Jesus Christ with strong conviction, compassion, and integrity. Dr. Rogers went home to be with the Lord in 2005, but he can still be seen and heard regularly on stations throughout the country and on the Internet. We'll have details about how you can find him at the end of today's program and on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. And now, here's Dr. Adrian Rogers with a classic message he delivered at a ministry event on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It is a wonderful, wonderful joy to be here today and to share. And of course, you know that we love Jim and Shirley, and we love each of you. And I want to get right to the subject. The me I see is the me I will be. That's very important that you understand just who you are in Christ, because the key, the secret to living the Christian life is to see who you are in Christ. We were building a building down in Florida when I was a pastor down there, and every pastor loves to see these buildings being built. And it was nighttime. All of the other staff had gone home. The building was up. They had not turned the electricity on in the building, but the walls were up. The doors were hung. I wanted to see, so the sun was setting, but I walked across, began to step over the construction materials, got inside. There was a room I had not yet been in. I pushed open the door, and no doorknob was on it, but a door closer had been put on it. And so when I went in, the door closed behind me. I reached back, and there was no doorknob. It was absolutely dark in there, but not being afraid of the dark, I said, I'll wait a while, and my eyes will get used to the dark. And so I waited a while and focused, and then I saw that there was another man in there. Now, it bothered me that I'd been in there this long. He had not said a word. And so I squinted to look at him, and he was seemed to be about 4 inches taller than I, and kind of a swarthy-looking guy, kind of ugly. And I challenged him with this question, may I help you? Now, he didn't say a word. And I felt the adrenaline begin to rise and the heart begin to thump like that. But I thought, now, I can't act afraid. So I challenged him again. I said, pardon me, what are you doing here? He didn't say a word. I reached back. There was no doorknob. I didn't know where the door was now. And I thought, I'm in serious trouble, but I'm not going to act afraid. But I was afraid. So I thought, I will move toward him. And when I did, he moved toward me. And I said, dear Lord, I've got to have light. And I squinted a couple of times, and then I recognized him. It was me. I was looking in a mirror. He wasn't nearly as big and twice as ugly as I thought he was. All I had was this weird, distorted image of myself. A friend of mine said that he saw something, and he told me about it. He said they took a great northern pike. He saw this on a film. He said they took a great northern pike, captured it live, put it in an aquarium, gave it exactly the right ambience of one of those Canadian lakes, and he got it home, and then they began to pour minnows in there, the kind of minnows that he loved. And he was gobbling them up. My friend said he was moving so fast you could hardly see him move. He thought he died and gone to Pike Heaven. And then they did something to Mr. Pike. They put a glass tube in the middle of that aquarium, filled the glass tube with water, put the minnows in the tube, not swimming free. He started after one of them, bumped his snout, backed off, started after another and another and another. And he finally came to the conclusion he would never have another minnow in his life. So he settled down to the bottom of that aquarium and quit trying for the minnows. And then they removed the glass tube and the minnows swam around again. My friend said, Adrian, it was incredible. He said a minnow would swim right past his eyes and he never moved for it. And the pike starve to death surrounded by minnows. You see, the me I see is the me I'll be. He had it in his mind. He'd never have another minnow. Now let's talk about you. I don't know you. I wondered all of these wonderful people. They look so incredible. I wish I knew every one of them. And I thought, there's a wonderful individual as he or she came across the platform. But I know three things about every mother's child in this building today. And if you tell me these things are not true about you, I'm going to think you're telling me a fib. Here are three things that you want in life. You want significance. Don't tell me you don't. Number two, you want sufficiency. You want to know that your needs are going to be met. Number three, you want security. Those are three things you want, and they're three things that God wants you to have. And all of those three things are found in Christ. Now, I want to read some scriptures to you. Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then skipping down to verse 6, he says he has done this to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I read three verses, and those three verses deal with the deepest needs of human nature. And they tell you who you are in Christ. Now, first of all, we say that you want significance. Well, if you want significance, then you need to, one, recognize your righteousness. Now, I want to ask a question. How many saints are here today? Now, don't lift your hand. But how many saints are here today? Well, you say, Adrian, I'm saved, but I'm not a saint. Well, friend, if you're saved, you're a saint. There are only two categories of people in the world, the saints and the ain'ts. And you are one or the other. If you are saved, you are a saint. A saint is somebody who's been set aside by God. Now notice what the Apostle Paul says here to those who are living in Ephesus. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now you need to understand that you're a saint. You say, well, I'm not blameless. I'm not sinless. No. You're not, but you are a saint. Now, I'm not talking about your swaggering. The Apostle Paul says, for I say by the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me tell you what the grace of God will do. The grace of God will exalt you without inflating you. And it will humble you without debasing you. And you, my brother, you, sweet sister, you're a saint. You see who you are, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious shed blood, I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you are a saint, and that gives you significance. You can call me Saint Adrian if you want to, or Prince Adrian. I'm also a king. We are somebody, and we need to understand that. That's not arrogance at all. We have a deep need for significance. You'll never have any higher significance than to be a saint, a child of God, one of the blood-bought. Amen?
Amen. You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and we're sharing a timeless message from the late Pastor Adrian Rogers. Now, if you've just joined us, Pastor Rogers is talking about the three things we all long for in life: significance, sufficiency, and security. Let's get back now to the message as he explains how we can trust Christ to meet all our needs.
Now, here's the second thing. Look in verse 3. Not only do you need to recognize your righteousness, but you need to rely on your resources. Listen to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's past tense, already done, who hath blessed us with A-double-L, all, not some, not might do it in the future, already has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The problem with many Christians is that we're asking God to give us what we already have, because the Bible says, and Peter says it, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Our duty, our joy, our privilege is to possess our possessions. We were having a Bible conference, and I had a preacher, his name was Peter, and he was preaching and doing a wonderful job. And we had an intermission. When he went out, Peter went down to Deacon Gene, and his wife Betty had gone to the restroom. He said, Gene, is that Betty's Bible? Yes. He said, may I use it? And may I borrow it for just a moment? Gene says, sure. And so Peter took Betty's Bible and he put a $5 bill in. I don't have a five, I have a 10, but for the sake of illustration, he put a $5 bill in it and closed it like that. And he said, now just leave it here. When Betty comes back, I'm going to ask for a volunteer and I'm going to choose Betty. Don't tell her I'm going to choose her. But he said, make sure she brings her Bible. So he's preaching along, and after a while he said, I need a volunteer. You, lady, would you come up here? So she came up. Gene said, you better take your Bible. So she took her Bible. She's standing there. He said, Betty, do you believe I'm a man of God? She said, yes. Betty, do you love me? Yes. Betty, do you trust me? Yes. Betty, do you believe I'd lie to you? No, no, sir. All right, Betty, if I would ask you to do something right here on the platform right now, something very easy that you could do, and I ask you to do it for me, would you do it? She said, of course. He said, all right, would you give me $5? She said, well, let me go get my purse. He said, no, I said you could do it right here. But she said, I don't have $5 with me right here. He said, didn't you say you trust me? Don't you love me? didn't I tell you it was something you could do right here? Would you give me $5? She said, but I don't have it. He went through it again. She said, Gene. He said, don't call Gene. I said, do it right here. She said, but I don't have $5. He said, is that your Bible? Yes. He said, may I see it for a moment? She said, yes. He took the Bible and pulled out that $5 bill. She looked at it. She said, how did that get in there? He said, I put it in there. And then he told her what I want to tell you, precious friend. God will never ask anything of us that He has not already given us. Now remember this. Every demand upon your life is a demand upon the life of God in you. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You run out of your patience, run into His. You run out of your love. The next time some cantankerous, obstreperous, vituperative individual comes along you can't get along with, and you know that person needs love, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Try this. Say, thy love, Jesus. Thy love. And let the Lord Jesus Christ in you, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and in Christ Jesus, let Him love that individual through you. Friend, in Christ We are complete. Now, you want sufficiency. You have sufficiency. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the third thing you want. Not only do you want significance, you're a saint. Not only do you want sufficiency, God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the third thing that you want, and thank God you have, is security. Now listen, why God did this? Verse 6, God did this to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now listen, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now who is the beloved? The beloved is Jesus. And in Jesus you have acceptance and security. Did you know that it is human nature to feel rejection? That's systemic in the human race. We feel rejected and we just have that inborn feeling of rejection. That's the reason why kids leave a perfectly good home to go live in a commune somewhere, because they feel rejected at home when they're not. A boy starts smoking cigarettes, and girls when they're 14 to feel accepted. They take drugs and stick needles in the skin at first to feel accepted. How many adults are in difficulty financially because their neighbors keep buying things that they themselves cannot afford, and so they're trying to keep up with the neighbors. It's easy to imagine rejection. How wonderful it is to know that we are accepted in the Lord. Do you know what most Christians are trying to do? Most Christians are trying by behavior modification to be accepted. They think, you know, if I could live good enough, if I could pray enough, if I could work hard enough, then God would love me. Friend, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is nothing you can do that will make Him love you anymore. Nothing. He loves you by grace. By grace. Listen, God is not changing you so He can love you. He loves you so He can change you. Don't get the idea that holiness is the way to Christ. You've got it backward. Christ is the way to holiness. You just come to Him and say, Lord, I am accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus. Where are you? You are in Christ. How does God think of you? God thinks of you as God thinks of His own dear Son. You are accepted in the beloved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to want to scream blasphemy, but it is true. How much does God love you? God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, help them to know that Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. How does God love His Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When you come into Christ, where are you? You are in Christ. You are a member of Christ, and God looks upon you as He looks upon His own dear Son, and you, my precious friend, are accepted in the beloved. That's neat, isn't it? Now let me just show you how this security frees us up when we know that we're accepted. You see, let me just walk you through something and I'll sit down. Here it is. Now listen. Grace is God's acceptance of me. Okay, doesn't mean He accepts sin. He accepts the sinner by His grace when I receive Him as my Lord and Savior. All right? Now watch it. The Bible says He had done this, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace is God's acceptance of me. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Do you get that? Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Now, peace is my acceptance of me. You see, if God has accepted me, can't I accept me? Hey, folks, I hear people say, well, you're not supposed to love yourself. Where did you get that idea? It's all right to love what God loves, isn't it? Does God love you? Well, you go ahead and love you because God loves you. You know, the Bible says we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, if you don't love yourself, how can you love me? People who don't love themselves are dangerous. Dangerous. Now, I don't mean you stand in front of the mirror and sing how great thou art. If you do that, you're sick. What I'm trying to say is that you see yourself in Christ. The me I see is the me I'll be. I am accepted in the Beloved. Grace, He accepts me. Faith, I accept that He accepts me. Peace, I accept me. Love, now I'm free to accept you. You know why I can accept you? Because I've accepted me. When I can give to you and love you, there's no less of me. There's plenty in me because it's Jesus in me, and there's plenty to give away. And I can accept you. Love is my acceptance of you. Now, fellowship is your acceptance of me. Do you see it? Grace, faith, peace, love, fellowship. That's the way God wants us to live. Because we are accepted in the Beloved. Where is our significance? Where is our sufficiency? Where is our security? It's in a person. His name is?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
Lord, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for who we are because of Calvary. Your holy name. Amen.
Yes, indeed. We are who we are because of Jesus Christ. What a timeless message from the late Pastor Adrian Rogers here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Though Pastor Rogers delivered this message over 20 years ago, we still need to hear it today because, unfortunately, most of us feel flawed in this culture which puts such emphasis on beauty and success and money and things that really don't matter. That's why I appreciated this message so much, because it really comes down to that question that Dr. Rogers asked: what is your significance based on? When you look in the mirror, can you say, Jesus loves me just as I am, warts and all? He's given me all the significance and the sufficiency and the security that I'll ever need. It's all embodied in the personhood of Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling with a poor self-concept or a lack of confidence because you're overweight or underweight, too tall, too short, too poor, too whatever, hold on to the truth you heard today. And if you want to hear the program again or share it with someone that you know who needs to hear this, you can access it in many ways. You'll find it on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org or at facebook.com/drjamesdobson. You can also download our free app and listen to this broadcast anytime that fits your schedule. Our broadcast page also has links to Dr. Rogers' ministry, which is called Love Worth Finding, and you'll be blessed by the rich resources he offers there. While you're online, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us to reach out to those who are struggling? Your donations of any amount allow us to be there with prayers and resources for anyone who needs us. Now, you can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your financial contributions. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to come back again next time for another informative edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. Roger Marsh here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. The news comes in all shapes, sizes, and formats these days, but how do you cut through all the noise and get to the heart of the matters that affect your family? Well, come to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk and sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter. You'll find clarity on tough issues, encouragement for daily life, and trusted principles to help you build strong, healthy, and connected families. Go to drjamesdobson.org and sign up today. That's drjamesdobson.org.
There's an old African song that says when an old person dies, it's as if a library burns down. There's such a richness of family heritage in each person's life that is wasted if it isn't passed on to the next generation.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
One way of transferring this heritage to our children occurs when we tell stories to them, sharing about our faith, about our early family history, about the obstacles we overcame or failures we experienced, can bring a family together and give it a sense of identity. My great-grandmother helped to raise me when I was very young, and when I was just 3 or 4 years old, I remember her telling me stories about her life on the frontier. She'd tell me how she would sit in her log cabin at night and hear the mountain lions come down from the hillside. She'd tell me common, simple experiences about how different life was then. It wasn't a big production or a special story time set apart. It was just what we shared in the course of our spending time together throughout the year. The stories she told me then are just as vivid in my memory today. They helped open my mind to a love of history, a subject which still fascinates me to this day. The stories of your past, of your childhood, of your courtship with your spouse may not seem that interesting to you, but they can become precious gifts to your children. Share it with them.